Hello everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of User Fresh Lettuce. I am your co-host Rachel. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the she economy, independent women, and how that's affecting the marriage rates
and
moving
the world.
If you're not doing so already, please follow us across our social media platforms at YDFL Podcast. You can also listen to us on your favorite podcast platforms, including
Alexa.
And if you want to watch the show and
we're
all the shenanigans,
on YouTube. So go on over there, subscribe, listen, share with three friends.
Yes.
And we're trying to grow our following, so we are actually on YouTube. Check out the fits and check out the background.
The new studio. And check out the comment section, because we got some guys in there that aren't
about
too happy.
15. Maybe they're not so fabulous if they're like commenting
yeah,
very wrong.
Exactly.
But we accept, and we are okay with any other comments.
Troll away. Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So we saw a video that was representing a study from Morgan Stanley,
right?
Massive financial firm, massive predictor of economic situations, and they declared something about the she economy, specifically women who are becoming very self-reliant financially,
right?
Ages
25 to 44
are predicted to
never get married. Maybe have kids, but they were saying through, you know, artificial insemination or in vitro, or maybe getting a surrogate. Maybe in that regard, they can possibly become parents or mothers, but it was not going to be the traditional way, like the way that your mom and dad met and like the grandparents met and like they had a whole family and, you know, the baking of the cake and the pies and all that good stuff. It's not going to be that way, because I guess this new poll or this Morgan Stanley
it's a trend
did
that they're
this
seeing,
whole
yeah.
trend in women. And I think it's become very obvious that as we are getting older, and as I am, obviously we have this show because we are married women that now are divorced.
Yes.
And we understand what it was like to be married, go through the divorce process, and now be single women out here basically just living
on
life.
On the streets.
On the streets. Yeah. But we know what it was like to go through the transitions of life. These women have never, ever experienced maybe the boyfriends, the girlfriends, the dating, the this, the that, but never experiencing
what it's
like to actually have these so-called white picket fence and that whole family unity of what it's like to have a husband and have children, because I guess a lot of people are not going down that path.
You know, I think that, and it's probably not by choice, and this is probably the hardest part about
it.
I have been to countless dinners where I've met with my girlfriends who are high-level executives in Los Angeles,
right.
Some of in Orange County, mostly Los Angeles. And these are attractive women. These are highly educated women, and very well accomplished women.
Right.
By all means, these are women whose mothers and fathers raised them to be independent, to get their education, to do all these things first. Like, don't you dare get pregnant because you'll ruin your life. Like, there's so many of these narratives. And as women, they went, okay. And a lot of it was because the mothers struggled so much. Oftentimes as daughters, we saw what our moms went through.
Yeah.
And it really sometimes just boils down to economics. If mom had enough independence financially, she would have been able to walk away and have a better situation for
and
herself.
And what do you say? I'll be damned if I end up being like
yes.
my mother. I'll be damned if I get stuck.
Yes. So here we come into the she economy. I'm a little bit of an expert in this realm. I launched an entire platform that supports women economically. Like literally helps you figure out what type of business you could be doing right now from home and all these kinds of things. And I tell Delia, like, I often get a little sad because my DMs get filled up, email inbox get filled up from women that feel trapped, by the way, in the relationships, the ones that have relationships, and they're seeing this economic opportunity as a way for them to either do
untangle.
A last-ditch effort to help their marriage, but mostly to prepare to exit it.
Yeah.
And so you have all these women that are in marriages that want out, but it's a financial thing. And then you have all these women that have this idea that they want to get married, and they're, statistically speaking, never going to
go down that path. And I think that there's two sides to this. Like, I've also talked to women that have, you know, their husbands that are extremely well-to-do, and they have an understanding also that obviously, they're in situation marriages or relationships where the man is not operating from a standpoint of being fair.
Yeah.
And so they also understand that the likelihood of that person being fair, should she exit that relationship, is going to be very unlikely. It's probably not going to be fair. And so she understands that it's going to be a complete battle and fight. And financially, yes. she cannot hold that fight with him because he is a main provider. And so for that reason, a lot of the time people stay in the relationship because they understand that by breaking that, they're breaking all of it. They're breaking the stability, the finances, the family,
the kids,
you name it. Because you understand that now you may just have to be reliant on your income, which is probably very minimal because you've stuck it out at home.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the times you have the other side of the spectrum, which is the women that went to school, went to college, that are educated, that have their careers going, and then they see what maybe their mothers went through, right? Where they were in that stuck situation and they stuck it out. Maybe they were in an abusive relationship or marriage, and then now they're like, I'll be damned if I'm like my mom. I'll be damned if I get stuck.
Yeah.
And so by default, because they're not taking the leap of faith and they are so involved in getting their master's or bachelor's, master's.
Career first.
Their PhD.
Yeah.
They're taking all of those things into consideration, making that their first priority. They forget about the second, this whole part of life that is very important too. So they're never going to go down the path of having an actual partner or understanding, like, if you're in your 40s, you could still have kids, right? But the likelihood of it being, you know, you're taking a 50.
Child, yeah.
You're basically, you know,
once you pass,
a
33 or something
like
that.
I
think that the other thing that's happening is that marriage, like finding a man, is no longer hashtag goals.
Right.
That's no longer this amazing prize or this honor for a woman. There's no longer this thing. That is fading away.
Mm-hmm.
Like the shelf value of a man is absolutely eroding at a rapid rate.
Right.
And it really is due to women finding their ability to provide for themselves. We talked in an earlier episode about promiscuity and like body counts. You know, we're in an age where, like, anti-slut shaming, where women say, hey, if men can do it,
we can do it.
We're all adults here. So now we're in an era where women are very free with their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
They're free to explore their sexuality. They don't feel the stigma of, like, I can't sleep with all these men. It's like, no, I met a great guy. He took me out to dinner a couple times, and we're going to do this. Like,
let's just go.
So women are getting their needs met, whether it's from men out there in the world, their devices, you know, playing tic-tac-toe at home, as we say, with their
mm-hmm.
toys. Or at the end of the day, like, they just don't view it as hashtag goals. And so it's interesting to be living in
Absolutely.
This time and seeing that the traditionalism of the institution of marriage is absolutely eroding.
It is
eroding.
But you know, on a flip side of that, with what everything that you're saying though, it's so funny because for a long time, and it's still a thing, by the way, of women being gold diggers. But it's become more apparent, more obvious in recent years that men are equally as gold diggerish as women can be, because a lot of the women, you know, have their own cars, houses, they have their own wealth, they probably have rentals, they have Airbnbs, you name it. They're doing the things that men are doing, and maybe not at their scale, but a lot of women are very well to do these days.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the time, just like men are very methodical about making some type of financial decision, because we always talk about marriage.
Yeah.
Is the biggest financial decision that you're going to make in your lifetime. No contract is bigger than marriage.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, women are very smart too to say, well, what does he also bring to the table? Because I don't want to marry someone that's less than me, right? Because that's usually a thing.
And you know what's so funny? So like you and I talk about this. We understand that part of us as women having respect for a man, and respect is very important, because if a woman doesn't respect you, it's difficult to be turned on by you. It's difficult to nurture you. It's difficult for us to be feminine. It's really, really tough.
Yeah.
And so what ends up happening is, there's so many women, though, by the way, in this market right now, I guess the she economy, that they're willing, they could live in a big, beautiful house and make all this money, and they're willing to put some random guy, because he's kind of hot, he's kind of young, he's kind of this, kind of that, put him in. It's almost like we're building our Barbie dream houses and we're just picking whichever can, and there is no prerequisite, there's no financial like levels that are set. It's like, he's cool, he has a job. That is becoming very, very, very prevalent. And I know that that's how I know that I'm getting older and I'm a woman of a certain age, because I still am more attracted to a man who has his ish together more than me. I want him to be smarter.
Right.
I want him to be more successful.
Of course.
Like, I do want him to be more than, and it, yeah. you know, without demeaning myself, I just want that alpha presence.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm still single.
It's called the double P's. You want a protector and a provider.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
yeah.
what it
yeah.
boils down to. And I get that there are people that are willing to,
but
the
most
cannon,
women
but
are willing to switch.
Not.
Yeah.
Some are not. And some of them are just like, I'm going to give up not only my body, my soul, my spirit, but maybe half of my wealth too.
Did you see the video of the woman? You might have sent it to me. It's a woman that's in a big house, it looks like, and she's fighting on camera with her person. She's kicking him out. And he's like, no, this is my house too. And she said, I paid for this with my P-U-S-S-Y.
Oh.
And clearly she's like on OnlyFans or doing whatever, you know, like sex work or whatever. And she's yelling. She's like, no, it was my P-U-S-S-Y that paid for this house. Like,
my Virginia.
Like, you get out of here. And I was like, whoa. And here he was like, you know?
Yeah.
And so men, you're right. They will be more attracted to successful women because they don't have as much.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, I had a whole situation, you know, one of the times where there was a man that I had been dating for a while, and I happened to have, you know, in my home, there was two closets.
Oh,
and
I
it
love
was
this
a,
story.
Yes.
Oh, man, we are going there. Let's go. Yeah.
And it's technically a his and a hers, right? But this is my home, so it's a hers and a hers. It's my house.
Oh, yeah.
I'm buying the house. And he's like, no, that's supposed to be my closet. And I'm like, no, it's not. I said,
not
I'm
married,
buying,
by the way. Not married, not engaged. Yeah.
Nothing. And I'm like, listen, if you want us to buy a house together and you want to take it to that step, let's do that. But for now, this is my shoe closet with my purses.
Gorgeous,
and I'm going to have
way.
It custom made.
Yep.
And this is my closet. Like, this is a hers and a hers. He left crying, literally crying, and like slammed the door to my house. It was like, how dare you? This is supposed to be for us. And I was like, no, it's not. And no, this is my home. Like, I'm not going to allow that. So my point to that is that I can see that. Like, I fortunately have been married. I'm divorced and the kids and the whole nine. Like, I know what that's like. I know what that family unity feels like. But for those that have not experienced that, right? Like, if you have men that are coming in with such feminine energy, because that's feminine
that's
energy.
That's very feminine
extremely,
energy.
Then you're going to second guess that and be like, do I really want to go down the path of like dealing with these guys that are little boys that are like, that's my closet? Like,
I mean, perfect example, you know, with Delia and I, for example, everybody around me thought she was going to be married in a year or two. I was going to be married in a year or two. Like, there was no reason why not. And so then though you go into the market and you look around and you go, oh, that doesn't feel right. That doesn't look right. That doesn't smell right. That doesn't sound right. Like you just recognize that ain't it. And
that's not
I think
it.
That when you're a woman, if you're a woman that's never been married and you're hearing this, there is something that happens when you are in the marriage. You learn a lot the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn a lot about what you don't want the hard way because you don't even realize it when you're entering. Like,
no,
when you're
you
young,
don't.
You just go, oh, this is so amazing. And you learn
these things. You don't know what you
things.
Don't know, as they say.
Yes. And then once you exit, that I can see why there's a lot of women that have divorced and then never remarried in this day and age because they're like, it's a level of sacrifices that we have to give that just are not matched.
Right.
And so if you are a woman that's never been married though, there is, like I said, a whole sector of them, according to Morgan Stanley, they're not even interested in it. It's not even a hashtag goals, like I said earlier. It's just having a man is just not the end goal anymore.
Right.
And I'm a mom who raised sons and I have a son who's 24 at the time of this recording. And I do worry for him, you know, because I see that he is, you know, you do your best to raise a wonderful human.
Right.
He opens doors. He says all the right things all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's alpha, though. However, he has this list where he's like, well, no, if she's not like this, if she's not. And I'm now, I told Delia today, I'm now changing my tune. And I'm saying, hey, honey, like, don't be like that. Just if you can laugh with someone, you can have a good time with her and
just
you can trust her. Like, and you get, just run with it. And if you get 10 years and two kids out of it, you did good. You're going to high five.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you could live. And he just looked at me.
I
so
know
because
it's so unfortunate that that's the advice rather than saying, honey, like, you're going to find your till death do you part
yes.
partner. It's because the likelihood of that is very unlikely. And it's the things that we continue to talk about day in and day out, which are the overstimulated people, right? Whether that's a male or a female. Why? Because we have everything being thrown at us, from sexuality to like the way that you're supposed to live, to lifestyle, to luxury, to like all the things that you think that you need to have in order to be successful and happy. And oftentimes people present themselves and show up to the world in this way. And it's not, I mean, they're probably in debt and credit card debt and all the things. And so a lot of the time I think that people are just getting into this space of like, why should I give up everything that I have for what?
It's so crazy because at the end of the day, it's all materialistic stuff. And it's really, really sad. I know women are in a space of like wanting to preserve their financial security as well. And I guess men over the years have become very unreliable.
Yep.
You know, we have hundreds of years of data points to tell, or thousands of years of data points to say, hey, you give your all to a man and he's going to go cheat on you with, you know, Bathsheba over there, over the ridge, you know, to be like in the Bible, you know what I mean? Like he's going to go cheat or whatever, or I gave him all and then like, he doesn't even give me an allowance, or he's monitoring everything I spend. And so it becomes really difficult because the men have become unreliable on so many fronts. And so I can see why women that are leaving relationships feel like they're not reentering relationships with men. And I can also see why successful high-level women are going, I'm good. What for? But for those of you who have never been married, never had kids, and want it, you might have to, and I hate to say this because I'm such a check the boxes, you might want to just prioritize the end goal. Like, is it to be a mom? Is he a nice guy? Like, if this doesn't work, is he going to be a great father?
I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of women are opting, if the ultimate goal is to be a mother, like, I hate to say that you don't need a man, because that's not the case. Like, I always say, I never ever want to say you don't need a man. I mean, I think it's nice to want a man. Yes, there is a difference between wanting and needing. I don't need you, but I want you. I want to want you. Like, I want to have you in my life. But at the end of the day, like, if you can't find that, then there are other there are other things that you could do, like in vitro, IVF. You could do like a surrogate. There's a lot of those things. I'm not sure if we're leading into a world, we're living into a, how can I put it? We're actually coming into a world, I should say, where family is number one. I just think it's there. We're not reproducing. We're not doing any of those things. But I think it has a lot to do with like the numbers, the stats, these graphs of like divorce and knowing that like most people are going to get divorced. And do you really want to go down that path? And you're happy the way that you are. You up and go to Europe with your friends and like not have to worry about someone nagging or like having to worry about toilet paper and the stuff, if there's milk in the fridge type of thing. I think
men forever and ever, probably the last 100 years, easy 50 years for sure, they put their financial abilities, their ability to earn financially, as the end all, the be all, instead of maintaining the balance of chivalry and respect and being good men. Because there used to be a time, again, I was co-raised with my grandparents, I always say this, and there was this really high sense of honor. And when I had my sons, you know, my grandfather said, remember, you're raising men. You're not raising boys, and you raise them with honor, you raise them with respect, and you're the woman, they're going to be practicing with you, you're going to teach them to open your door, and whatever. And there's a lot of honor, and I think that that's missing, because the men are like, yeah, but I make all this money. And somehow it's like a hall pass to just be complete dicks.
Assholes.
And at the end of the day, it ain't it. And women are responding by the thousands, if not millions, and saying, that ain't it. Like, we figured out how to make money, because we're exiting a time where we kind of did prefer a guy with money. Because, you know what, it's a financial decision, it's a partnership, it's a better life, money.
Yeah.
But if a woman can figure out how to do that, I know plenty of women that make $150,000, $250,000 a month. So now as a man, you have to go, well, what do you bring to the table? Are you not chivalrous? Are you not romantic? Are you not, you know, all these things that women want.
Are you just going to go sleep with your freaking secretary?
Or are you just going to go to work?
Because I can.
Yeah, and go screw around. And now then, where's the why?
What's the point of it?
You know?
What's the end goal
besides kids?
Right.
So that's the difficult part. We're coming into an era where I think the only way this ship's going to turn around is if men evolve at the rate that women have. And I think that men have not evolved at the rate that women have. Women have become more attractive as they get older. They figured out things about fitness and health that they didn't realize before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true, because I know that fitness has been a thing for women, but for the most part, women would just do cardio, right? And it's
and that's like in the 80s,
right,
by the way.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so like now it's been such a it's such a trend to be, you know, dropping the weights around the men, and that's it is what it is. You
it's
have to
actual,
share this environment with the women too.
It's a medical biological advancement. No matter how you look at it, it's part of the human evolution. Women are evolving. Their bodies are evolving. They are. I mean, there's 60-year-old women that look better than some 20-year-old women
for
at this
sure.
point. And so, at the end of the day, women have evolved physically. Women are have evolved mentally. Spiritually. They have a lot of emotional intelligence. They're not going to put up with the BS. Like they've evolved financially. And so, look at men. How have they evolved? They're going backwards. They're not opening doors. They're not wanting to pay for the dinners. They're sitting there going, let's go halves. They want women to go 50-50.
But here's the thing though, like I will have to say though, and I'm not like trying to, you know, say anything about the 50-50. The problem too though, and we have to recognize this in women too, in my opinion, is that if women are coming to the world with this whole equality, right? Because it's like, I am a woman and I can do what a man
can
do.
True.
And so, and then, but on the flip side of that, we expect them to pay for half, then, you know, you can't have both. So either you're going to come in your feminine energy to be a female that knows, yeah, I know my worth. I know that I don't need you. I want you, but I want to be a woman. I want to be treated like a lady. And so if I, you know, go to dinner, I expect for him, and I don't want to say expect, but I would hope that he would want to be that man, that
yes.
that man that says, you know what, honey, like, I got you, you're a female, versus like, no, I got the bill, I don't need you to pay for it, like, where you get into this masculine energy.
No.
So at that point, you're just his bro, you're not like the
yeah.
girl. So,
the 50-50 is an exchange of value, it's not an exchange of the bill, it's not a 50-50 split of the bill, you know,
right.
So if he is coming as a man
mm-hmm.
who is here to provide you a wonderful experience, for having the honor, by the way, that you're a beautiful woman who will like be his audience, you know what I mean? That's
right.
What it is, like, so there's an exchange of value. You're this beautiful woman, you're a single eligible woman, there's an investment that he needs to make,
right.
And there's an exchange of value in
exactly.
that. If you're getting all dolled up, you know, it's very expensive for a woman to put herself together,
for sure.
She has many options. Most women, even I talked about this, at 200 pounds, do not dismiss it, because this woman has people in her DMs.
Right.
Like, at the end of the day, there's an exchange of value. She went out of her way to take her time. She chose you. And all you have to do is actually provide her, yeah, be a man and pull out the chair and like pay for the dinner and provide the experience. It's called peacocking. Like, she's showing up and she's making an assessment. That's the investment of dating. If you can't afford it, don't do it.
Yeah.
Be home and go play video games with your friends.
Right.
You know, you're not ready to enter the big boys club, because
right.
that's just what it is.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so the equality thing is a tough conversation, because are we going to say, well, guess what? Then if a man beats a woman, we're equal now. So she should have defended herself. It's not a domestic violence case. You know
yeah.
what I mean? So we have to be really careful. I think at the end of the day, 50-50 is an exchange of value.
Mm-hmm.
He can go provide. She's going to raise the kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's still 50-50.
But oftentimes, by the way, when you do talk to women that are doing the 50-50 providing of the value, right? You're, you know, for me, for instance, I've heard the conversations of like, before I had kids, I was very independent. I had this job, I did mortgages, I did this, I did loans, and now I'm stuck. Now I'm at home.
Oh,
now
yeah.
I have these kids, and like, you know, obviously,
they don't like it.
And yeah, because when you've come from a world of having your own money, making your own money, making your own moves, but understanding that obviously this man's providing you a better life, which is maybe a more beautiful home, a better car, a better environment. But in exchange, you're also exchanging something there. It's not just you're getting all these luxury items. Like, you're also becoming, you know, the lady that, you know, does the laundry, takes care of the kids, and does all the things. And even if you have a housekeeper that kind of comes in to kind of tidy up, at the end of the day, the entire weight of the house, you know, kind of kind of lays on your shoulders, with the exception, yes, the man will pay for, you know, the house and the things, but at the end of the day, you are the head of the household, essentially, because you're the one that's running the show. And so there's a lot of things that are expected of you. And so in return, you feel like you're just maybe, you know, your hair's up in a bun and you're like in
not
probably,
putting the effort,
yeah, not putting the effort, because guess what? Like, you're just at home having to run the household.
And I want to chime in on that, because I'm a Gen Xer, and there's this whole narrative with Gen Xers that we pretty much raised ourselves because we were latchkey kids. And we were out until sundown, mm-hmm. couldn't be in the house, you had to go out and play. And there's like this whole narrative, like literally across the entire generation, and everybody says, where were our parents? Well, the moms were working. And so one of the things that we learned, by the way, and that you don't realize it until after, like as women, you don't, and I talked to lots of women in this age group, now that they're in the workforce or building their lives, whatever, they look back at their moms, they understand that that generation of women was the first generation to be honest with the fact that they do not enjoy being domesticated. Mm-hmm. And there are domestic duties that are not natural. Like it is this preconceived notion from like the ancient days that women have this natural mothering, this natural nurturing, this natural domestic side to them. And the women of that generation, our mothers, proved that that's not the case. Because let me tell you, they would rather go to work and lose themselves in work and get the acclaim of like the work and be using like work as an excuse because I'm so busy to not show up as mothers. And guess what? They got a taste. Mm-hmm. And so often what it was is that they had a choice to just be sitting at home, burping babies, changing diapers, and cooking 3 meals a day for this guy. They'd rather go back to the office mm-hmm. and go do that job.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
The reality is now this generation is not afraid to admit that. This generation is okay with going, yeah, no, I want kids, but they don't even want to carry them in their bodies.
Because they don't want to ruin their bodies.
You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, they're going to get the nannies, they're going to get this person, they're going to have the surrogate, they're going to, because at the end of the day, this generation is being the most honest with themselves of like, I don't want to cook, I don't want to clean, like, just because I'm a woman, I'm not domestic.
But do you think that this generation is also coming in a world of selfishness? Do you think like this generation is like the selfish generation? If you think about it, like, I don't want to ruin my body, I'm gonna get a surrogate, like I can probably hold a baby down and like have a baby, but like I have things going on, I have this like European trip, like she could be pregnant, I don't want to be pregnant. And like, especially because there's never a good time to be pregnant, because you're pregnant 10 months out of the year,
and then you got the afterward,
you know. Yeah.
I think that this is the generation that's giving themselves permission to just be what it is. I think that probably 50 years ago women were thinking the same thing, but what options did they have?
Right.
You know what I mean? And I mean, what were the options? They couldn't afford them for financial reasons to not do it any other way.
I don't think that the science was there anyway, right? I mean, if it was very limited, probably not as accessible as it is now.
Yeah, but just the idea of being able to say, you know what, I think I'd rather go to work and use that as an excuse and because I got
to
help to not be sitting there doing the mommy stuff. Because guess what? Not every mother is born with motherly instincts in the way that others are. And so those women would rather throw themselves into their work. And there's the rest of us, there's a few of us, I can say, that we enjoy our work, but we're trying to find out how to be good mommies too, because we really love that part.
That whole balance thing.
Yeah, and so I think we're in a whole generation of women that understand, like, they are free, like they're not making excuses, like they are not. No, it's like we are out here,
and
like
this is what we're doing.
Yeah, I'll pay someone to grow the baby for me. I'll pay someone to inseminate the egg. Like, I'll pay a person to come clean the house. I'll pay a person to deliver my food.
If I don't have a man yet, I'll just freeze the eggs.
I don't really like the gym that much. I'll just pay a doctor to give me the body that I need. Like, we are in a convenience is king society. And let me tell you something. None of us have ever been.
Sorry.
Hold on one second. You got the note, the sheet too, by the way.
Okay. We have the sheet, 2959.
Okay, ready?
30.
So, you know, we are in a society where we are giving ourselves permission to be fully honest with the fact that we can essentially buy our way through anything. You know, whether, like I said, with the nannies, you could pay someone to help you raise your kids.
Clean
the house, cook
the
meals.
Things.
You know what I mean? And like I said earlier, you know, you want a hot body, but you don't want to go to the gym because you don't got time because you're building your career. You can just pay a doctor to go give you that body. Like, at the end of the day, women right now are in the power seat. Mm-hmm. Whether or not that's going to bite us in the ass, we don't know yet.
We don't know. But, you know, I guess the stats, I guess these investors are actually going back to the initial reason why we're having this podcast, this conversation, is because Morgan Stanley investors are really throwing their money against, you know, these odds.
They're preparing to see where to invest and where not to invest based on this behavior. As
25 to 44 year old, like not having kids, never going to get married, never going to do things.
As someone who was an executive at the Knot magazine back in the day, I can tell you that it was deemed the most recession-proof industry you could be in. If you could be in the bridal industry, you are here to stay for life and you are going to make a crap ton of money. This study suggests otherwise. All right, guys. Well, we will see you in the next episode next week. And just remember that you deserve fresh lettuce.